It's a holster.
Yep. Looking good. Oh, what a day. What a day.
Dwight, are you carrying a gun?
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Weiss here with you. Ethan is still out, but I got my guy, producer Nick, here to talk about the Giants' 20-20 tie, a tie against the Washington Commanders, a game that made you want to pull your hair out, made you want to throw something against the wall, made you want to bounce your own head off the wall, break your TV, but we're here to break it all down. But before we get into it, we have to talk about the sponsor of the show, Mojo. How would you like to invest in your favorite players? Well, now you can with Mojo. Mojo has over 300 NFL players listed, so you can invest in rookies like Garrett Wilson or Christian Watson, who had big games today for their respective teams, or superstars like Joe Burrow, who picked up another win against the Kansas City Chiefs 3 in a row, or Jalen Hurts, who the Giants are going to see next week, who is now climbing that MVP ladder board, or even a guy like Jonathan Taylor. Do you think he's going to bounce back with these final five games he's taking on the Dallas Cowboys right now? Prices move with every play, every game, and every headline, and you can buy and sell instantly anytime all year long, so the action never stops. Mojo is live in New Jersey now. Download the Mojo app in the Apple App Store and start turning playmakers into money makers. Must be 21 or older to use Mojo and located in New Jersey to make trades. Have a gambling problem? Help is available at 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit mojo.com for more info. Nick, I have never experienced a tie before as a fan. Well, 97, but, you know, I was, what, 5, 6, 7 years old. How are you feeling? What is your mindset? You sort of gave me a hint before we got started, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but yeah. I wanted you to give me your feelings on air, raw, so we could hear it. So, Nick, your thoughts.
Just frustrating, man. That was the first time all year where they fumbled that game away. And yes, they tied. They didn't lose, but that was a winnable football game. Just the little mistakes they accumulated. Very, very frustrating. They had so many opportunities. You cataloged them all in your tweet, all of the little mistakes that accumulated over the course of the game, the unsportsmanlike conduct, Richie James and Saquon running into each other, the clock management at the 2-minute drill, the clock management at the end of the game, Taylor Heineke not fumbling when Kayvon blew him up in the overtime. Just so many little things that didn't go the Giants' way. And for the first 8-9 weeks of the season, each one of those little things went the Giants' way. Today, when they really needed a bounce to go their way, they didn't have one, and they ended up tying a game that really swung their playoff chances. With the win today, they were a 76% chance to make the playoffs. With the tie today, they're down to 54%, 55%, something like that. And it just became a whole lot harder because this is not an easy schedule. And all of that optimism and good mojo we were feeling for the last couple of weeks about all they got to do is beat Washington 1 out of 2 and they're fine. And then now you're looking down the barrel of Philly, Minnesota. Indy hasn't played great, but they're in most of these games. And then if that second Eagles game matters to the Eagles, the Giants are really screwed.
Yeah, you really summed up what's coming up for the Giants. And yeah, I think it was a pretty frustrating game because the Giants, you know, obviously had multiple opportunities not to just put them away, but then when they got back in the game, the Giants had opportunities to win the game, and they just didn't. I mean, you go down the list. From the moment the Giants went up 20-13, what happened after that? Well, the defensive line began to dominate the Washington offensive line. Now, they couldn't stop the run, but Taylor Heineke was under duress almost every single play. The impact of the return of Aziz Ojulari was evident. And if you're looking for a silver lining, if you're somebody that likes to stay positive, I think Aziz Ojulari being back is huge for this defense. But, you know, their defensive line was dominating. They were getting 3 and outs. the Giants offense was constantly getting the ball, and they weren't just getting the ball, you know, they were getting the ball at midfield or right around midfield, where all they needed essentially was 3 points to put this game out of reach, and they just couldn't get it done, all the way up to the point where the Washington Commanders, you know, converted a wild 4th and 5 in what I thought was a terrible, terrible decision. But I mean, you know, you look at that game from the moment the Giants took a 20-13 lead to the end with Graham Gano missing a 58-yard field goal, there is a laundry list of mistakes. And one of the things that I've discussed, you've talked about, Ethan has talked about, is this team doesn't have the talent to overcome self-inflicting wounds. And self-inflicting wounds aren't just turnovers. They're not just, you know, penalties. You know, there's certain decisions that when a coach makes, it can impact. You know, I think there were some questionable decisions that the Giants made, you know, especially at the end of the first half where they, you know, ended up tying the game with a field goal. But could they have taken a couple of shots to the end zone, maybe gotten a touchdown? Yeah. Some of the decisions, I mean, to run on early downs and not throw, and the play action when you don't really need to do play action, and the fact that they kept running that, you know, play action boot, and Washington was always prepared for it. I understand. Look, they just don't have personnel. And when I say personnel, I mean offensively across the board. There's questions about the quarterback. There's questions about the offensive line. There's questions about the receivers. There's questions about their ability to run the football now. And you really are starting to see it, you know, unravel. The question is, can they do enough to get to the playoffs or will this thing just unravel even more? Look, I think ultimately when we look back on this season, it's going to be looked at as a net positive because, you know, this is the first year of a rebuild. But as you sit here today, 7-5 or 7-4, opportunity to make the playoffs, it's still going to be disappointing if they don't get in. I thought they were a better football team than Washington. I think if they make two less mistakes, they win this football game. And look, you really got to be frustrated. But at the same time, I mean, they tied, okay? They didn't lose. Yeah. The next thing is going to be, okay, look, you got a tough test against Philadelphia coming up. I don't see a path to victory. We'll talk about that game later in the week. But that second game against Washington, and then that game against Indy as well. I want to make sure people understand, even if the Giants beat in Washington in that second game, they're still going to need another victory.
Yeah.
You know, out of Minnesota, Philly twice, and Indianapolis. So even if they take care of business against Washington, which I do believe they're a better team than Washington. I thought Taylor Heinicke, look, I know he had a good game on the stat sheet and he made that big fourth down play, but there were so many times where he just I'm like, come on, how is this not a pick? You know, like it was ridiculous. But I think he's a quarterback that is that makes mistakes, takes risks. Unfortunately, the Giants didn't make him pay this week outside of an Azeez Ojulari forced fumble. But look, if you're a Giant fan, you're frustrated, but it's still right in front of you. I don't want people to get discouraged or anything like that. I think the opportunity is still there. This is the NFL. Anything can happen on a week-to-week basis. You know, they control their own destiny. It's a tough schedule, but Washington has a tough schedule. Seattle has a tough schedule. So it's not going to be a cakewalk by any stretch. The Giants are going to have to dig deep and see if they have something. And another thing I sort of pointed this out during the game was they really, really miss Xavier McKinney and Adoree Jackson. Yeah. Terry McLaurin's ability to just get what he wants, and then the Giants having to play Zion Gilbert because Darnay Holmes was a scratch due to an illness. I mean, it took a while, but the Commanders start to realize, hey, let's just throw to whoever Zion Gilbert is guarding. And it was Curtis Samuel a lot, and he was able to, especially on that drive where they tied the game, get some big plays. But, you know, they need those two guys back. I thought you saw the impact of Azeez Ojulari. I think Adoree Jackson, we know how important he is. We know how important Xavier McKinney is. You get those two guys back, really shores up your defense. And, you know, you get ready for this final five games. Yeah. And you see what you're made of. You see, is there a hole down there that they can dig to get themselves, you know, two wins, three wins and get a playoff spot?
So a couple of things in there. Somebody tweeted this. They had 69 yards of offense after they took a 20 to 13 lead, and they had seven more possessions after they took a 20 to 13 lead. They averaged about 8 yards a drive the entire second half after they took that lead. The offense's inability to do much of anything. And again, I didn't think Saquon had a particularly impactful game. He had the one big run, which definitely helped on that series. He did have the rushing touchdown, but again, a lot of volume, not a lot of explosive plays, the one big run. And I know he's playing hurt. We all know he's playing with that dinged up shoulder. He hasn't been running the same since the game against Green Bay. But if their best offensive player isn't going to be able to give them anything, give them enough in these kinds of situations, and the best play they have is nobody's open, Dan Jones has to run for his life to pick up 5 or 6 yards with the pass rush bearing down on him. At some point, they got to come up with something. I know we talked about this last week, just you got to find something. And the Washington really keyed in on the play we were talking about, that underneath slide route to the tight end off the play action, where they were just sitting on it because that was really the only play the Giants were able to effectively run. Slayton was open a lot in this game. Daniel Bellinger was open a lot in this game. There are opportunities in this game for even the marginal cast that they do have to make a play to win this game. And that's what's frustrating about it, is it was sitting right there in front of them, but the defense did enough. I don't think it was the defense's fault that they
did
lost
more than enough.
I think if you hold the other team to 20 points or less in today's NFL, that's a pretty good day for your defense. And yeah, the Washington offense isn't amazing because of Heineke's limitations, but the offense has to be able to find one more score in there somewhere.
Here a couple of things. You talk about the defense, that big play in overtime.
Yeah.
The tackle by Flott, where they are on the cusp of field goal range. And Sly, the Commander's kicker, is a really, really, really good kicker. He's got a really good leg. And Cordell Flott making that tackle, that was a...
Saved the game.
They saved their season, yeah. Really, if you think about it. Because if Washington wins this game, it's a lot more bleak than, you know, a tie. I mean, they made play after play. This defense made play after play. Even the touchdown drive that they had in the second half to go up 20-13 was off of a turnover forced by the defense. They sacked Heineke 5 times. He was under duress the entire game. There were moments where they should have, where, you know, the defensive line forced errant throws. Even when Leonard Williams went out of the game,
yeah,
the defensive line was still dominating a Washington offensive line. But you know, there's one play in particular when you talk about a self-inflicting wounds that really, really got to me. And I tried not to be emotional on social media because it's never good to be emotional on social media. It's one thing I've learned live tweeting games for so many years. And that was the John Feliciano taunting penalty.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure you understand. So it was first down and 10 at the Washington 47. Jones throws a pass to Darius Slayton, who goes for 12 yards, putting the ball at the 35-yard line of Washington, first down. At that time, there was about 6 minutes and 22 seconds left in the game. They're at the 35-yard line of Washington, first down. Field goal. They're in field goal range. They have time. They've got a new fresh set of downs. They can burn clock. And Feliciano, who isn't even a good enough player to be flexing. I'm trying to be as respectful as possible. Decides to go into a crowd of Washington Commanders players, and look, flexing at Darius Slayton or not, you know the situation, what's going on. At first, when the flag was thrown, I thought there was a skirmish and Feliciano went there and, you know, was defending Slayton. But to go there and stand, you know, in a group of Commanders players and flex your muscles, and I don't care if you're looking at whoever you're looking at, but to do that, it's just a very low IQ play. It's a very low IQ play. And for a veteran guy that's been in high emotional games, important games in Buffalo last year, you have to know better.
Yeah.
You simply have to know better. And I'm trying to keep my composure because I watch, you know, typically we record a day after and you sleep on it. But for him to do that in that moment, You have an opportunity to close the game out, go 8-4, put yourself in a great spot to make the playoffs. And you're a veteran guy. You were brought here because of your familiarity with the coaching staff, with Joe Shane and what he's trying to build here. And for you to do that, it just shows that not only they made a mistake on you, and I'm sorry to put too much emphasis into that play, but it's not like Feliciano's been playing well at center. I think Nick Gates should have started this game at center, but again, I'm not going to talk about that. But for him to do that, he should not be the starting center of this team anymore. He should go to the bench, just like Kenny Golladay went to the bench, just like Richie James went to the bench when he fumbled two times. Now, Richie James back returning punts. That's only because they don't have anybody else. But in this case, they have a center. And for him to do that, it's a very stupid play. You're not a rookie. You know, you read the room, man. Like, you are a veteran player. You've played in these type of big games. For you to do that, it's just stupid. It's boneheaded. And if I was Brian Daboll, you would not be on the field next week. No single play cost the Giants the game. But I look, first and 10 at the Washington 35, 6 minutes, 22 seconds left. This isn't, you know, hindsight. You have a chance to put this team away. You cannot make those mistakes, knowing that your offense has struggled mightily to get score points, not just today, all season.
Yeah, no, we said last week previewing this game that it would probably be low scoring. It would be in the teens. Whichever team made more mistakes would probably lose this game. And that ultimately they both made quite a few mistakes. Both teams did. And this game ended in a tie. It shouldn't have ended in a tie. The Giants had this game. I don't want to say won because, you know, no game is won. But like you're saying, you're up a score, plenty of opportunity to put the game away, and you just don't do it. It's infuriating when you have mistakes like this because that's a sign that maybe they haven't made as much progress as we thought they did this year in a rebuilding year, that if you're making mental mistakes like this, if you're having execution mistakes, where we all know Richie James is only on this team because they literally have nobody else. But right. for him to run into Saquon on that play, on that last drive, just it's mind-boggling how the Giants
late in the season, inexcusable. Yeah. That's a week one mistake that you make and you put it behind you. But my thing with Feliciano, see, this is what really made me angry about it, is that this guy was brought here to be that guy that tells you when you do something wrong like that. Yeah. He's the guy that's here that when a rookie or a young player or inexperienced player makes a stupid decision like what he did, he's the first guy to go tell that guy you made a mistake and get in his face. Before Brian Daboll and the coaching staff does it, he's the guy. He's the guy that's supposed to be leading by example. He was the guy that was brought here by Daboll, by Bobby Johnson, and by Joe Shane because of his familiarity with what they're trying to build. You can't do that. And his lack of accountability after the game, and it makes me sick to see, well, yeah, the refs did the refs. Look, the taunting penalty, it sucks. But yeah. Teams are not allowing that penalty to cost them games. You need to be smarter. That decision heavily, heavily, heavily impacted the game. The other play. The Commanders tie the game at 20. And here we go. Daniel Jones opportunity, two-minute drill. Get yourself into field goal range. Kick a field goal. Let's go home. Daniel Jones gets another check next to his name. Another moment that he can go to in the offseason when we're talking contract and deserving second opportunities and yada, yada, yada. This is one of the parts of this is a part of the evidence of why, hey, you need to bring me back. I led a game-winning drive in a big game. Washington ties the game. First down and 10 at the 27. Oh, no, this was, I'm sorry. So the game was tied at 20. Washington Giants go out, come out. The other big thing was Giants get the ball, minute 45. I think they had all three of their timeouts or two timeouts, yes. Whatever. And first and 10, everybody's saying end of first half, conservative, 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 no shots at the end zone. First down and 10, Giants come out.
Incomplete.
Yeah. Incomplete, Darius Slayton. Now, there's two ways to look at this. And you can't have this conversation on Twitter. A lot of things you can't discuss on Twitter. As a quarterback, and as a quarterback that is looking to be, to get paid or looking to have a significant role with the team, not even going to use the term franchise quarterback, but as a guy that is looking to have a significant role on a team, your job is to make it as easy as possible for your skill guys to make a play. Darius Slayton was wide open. Daniel Jones had a clean pocket. That has to be a better throw.
Yeah.
That's one side of it. Darius Slayton got two hands on the ball. It's a difficult catch. You're up in the air. You're coming down. I get it. You got to hold on to the ball. I've seen you make difficult catches.
Yeah.
These are the Nick, I want you to understand. If you're somebody, and I'm not talking about you, but if somebody listening to me, if you're listening to this podcast and you're, regardless what side of the aisle you're on with Daniel Jones, when you make a big-time investment in a quarterback and he's eating chunks of your salary cap, like some people want Daniel Jones to be, there's people that want Daniel Jones to get a long-term contract with the Giants where he's making $20, $25, $30 million a year. There's people that want that. That has to be a better ball.
Yeah.
Because you just can't sit here and say that guy is good enough that we can win with him, that we can pay him $25, $30 million. But then he goes out there and on a big throw on a wide open, you know, wide open receiver, he makes it difficult. Your job is to make people around you better. When you are taking up a chunk of salary cap space, and I'm trying to really like make it so people understand here, because when you pay a guy $25, $30 million a year or $20 million a year, and he's eating he's one of the guys that are with the highest cap hits on your team. You need them to make plays at certain moments and not miss the easy plays. Daniel Jones missed the easy plays. I'm with you. I think they are not allowing Daniel Jones to do more. And I think they should trust Daniel Jones a little bit more. But man, last week on Thanksgiving, what happened in the big moment, right? Barkley drops a pass, but what happened on the throw? It could have been a better throw, right? You hit him in stride, maybe we're having a different conversation. What happened here? You hit Darius Slayton in stride, what happens? We're having a different conversation. If you're going to tell me he's the guy, then you can't sit here and say, well, Darius Slayton has to catch the pass. That's not that we're not discussing that. We're talking about he's wide open. It needs to be a better throw. Because if it's a better throw, we're not talking about a Darius Slayton having to make a difficult catch or Saquon Barkley having to make a difficult catch. He has to do his job. You're telling me this guy's a $30 million quarterback, $25 million quarterback. Place the franchise tag on him. Well, if you're telling me that, then your expectation for him isn't just, hey, well, the receiver has to make that difficult catch. No, at the same time, that quarterback needs to make a better throw. And 2 weeks in a row, big moments, yes, Barkley should have made that catch. Yes, Darius Slayton should have made that catch. But in those big moments, you need your quarterback to be at his best. And he wasn't.
This is exactly the same conversation that is going on in the Rangers community right now, because that team is all the hockey Rangers. That team is also spiraling right now. And the captain got into a fight last night, threw his helmet, trying to fire the team up. It's really, really a turning point moment for people from a social media perspective. And to your point about not being able to argue certain points, so many people are always going to be convinced because of their confirmation bias that their team is never wrong. They can't ever believe that the team made the wrong decision. There are so many people who want Daniel Jones to be the guy just because he's the quarterback of the Giants, because they wouldn't invest their time, their emotions, and their number money in their pick. Team. Yeah, they wouldn't invest their time, their money, and their emotions in something that wasn't worth it. And if the team was wrong, that makes people feel like they've been wasting their time, their money, and their emotions. And people don't like facing that fact. And it's hard to come to terms with your confirmation bias. But it's the same exact thing the Rangers are dealing with the captain of the team not playing well and being very expensive. And we're going to have this conversation about Jones until the team itself makes a decision. Let me ask you this. And on the sliding scale of quarterbacks, not specifically, but what range do you think Dan Jones is in, like 15 to 20, something like that, in terms of his ability?
I'm gonna say he's somewhere between 14 to 18.
Okay, so realistically, cap wise that's gonna put you somewhere between probably 28 and 36, 37 million. Because like Derek Carr is getting like 38, 39, but he's only got 2 years left on his deal. The highest end of the market is like 50 per, which Aaron Rodgers is getting on a very short-term deal. It's just when you start thinking about the math and how you're going to build out the rest of this roster, yes, they are going to have a ton of cap space. I think something in the neighborhood of 100 million going into this offseason, but you still have Leonard Williams, who's getting a lot of money. You're going to have to pay Dexter Lawrence, who's going to get a decent chunk of money. He's not going to get a ton because he's not playing an edge rusher. He's an interior guy. But you need to build out the entire roster. And it's very early to be talking about what's the best direction for the long-term future of the team. And there's still plenty of time for these next five games for Daniel Jones to prove himself and really solidify, okay, this is the guy. But with how the last two games have gone and how the coaching staff has handled him this entire season of trying to just limit his mistakes and limit what they're asking of him, it goes to show you that if they could find a better option, they would probably take it. And I think there's a real argument that you're better off trying to let him make these mistakes in these last five games. And if you miss the playoffs because you went out swinging and you let Daniel Jones be aggressive, I can live with that. It's better than going into the offseason with, I still don't really know. Because realistically, it's hard to gauge him week to week. Because today he made a couple of really gutsy plays with his legs where I was like, ah, crap, he's screwed. He's going to take a sack. And he got out of it. He picked up 6 or 7 yards. He lived for the next down. That's what's so infuriating about this. You can't really get a read on the guy. And whenever you try and comment on getting a read on the guy, it's immediately, well, you just don't like him. Well, no, I want the team to do well. That's the most common misconception that people have. I know you and Ethan got this a lot. You want them to lose. No, I would like them to win. I would like to not be miserable. I would like to do a happy podcast every single week where we talk about the Giants going 19-0 and winning the Super Bowl every year. That would be terrific. But until the team gets going fully in the direction we want them to, we're going to complain when things that are addressable can be addressed.
My whole thing is it's pretty simple. If you're telling me this guy's the guy, if you're telling me this guy's 25 million a year, 30 million a year, there's a standard.
Yes, 100%.
You got a wide open receiver. I need a better ball, and I don't think that's asking for a lot.
No,
you know I'm not asking for a lot. You got a wide open running back in the flat who can probably, you know, get an extra 20 yards. It's the fourth quarter. It's the big game. I need a game-winning drive. I'm trying to get to the playoffs. You know, there's a standard here.
Yeah. You know,
I can't pay you 25, 30 million and then chalk up every mistake as a rookie mistake or the receiver has to do a better job. You know? Yeah. I just can't do it. You cannot do it. You need more from him. And look, I'm with you. I don't care if he turns the ball over. I think you need to let him be more aggressive. I think you need to throw the ball down the field more. I think you need to, you know, do more in your passing game, because running the football is just not working anymore. I mean, nope. It's since the game against Houston, you know, Saquon Barkley has not looked himself. He's not looked himself. And I know the offensive line has been dealing with their injuries, but you know, you look at the last two games, you know, he's 15 carries, 22 yards, 11 carries, 39 yards. And then today, he goes, 18 carries, 63 yards.
Yeah. With one long run of 21, really juicing up that total.
Right.
Because other than that, you're looking at what? You're looking at 17 carries for 42 yards. Yeah, that's an ugly stat line.
And another thing I want to point out with you talk about living with Daniel Jones's turnovers. Daniel Jones has three turnovers, two interceptions, one fumble lost the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
The first nine games of the season, he had four total turnovers. The last 3 weeks, he has four total turnovers. So you're sort of getting the turnovers, but you're not getting the aggression.
Yes.
So it sucks. Look, I said it. I said in this stretch, they're going to need Daniel Jones to elevate his game. And if your rebuttal is, well, how do you want him to do it? Well, he's just got to do it. You know, like we're trying
what good quarterback play looks like. We know what good quarterback play looks like. Look at 15 in Kansas City. Look at 9 in Cincinnati. It's not, Joe Burrow ran for his goddamn life.
You know, that's not even to me, like those are outlier guys.
No, just saying that's what we know what good quarterback play looks like. And Daniel Jones isn't living up to even like 3/4 of what good quarterback play is.
Right.
He's very reserved.
Hit an open guy in the flat. Throw a better ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, you know, or hit Darius Slayton when he's open, you know?
Exactly.
If you threw a better ball and Darius Slayton dropped the pass, I'd be sitting up here telling you Darius Slayton did a terrible job. But you got to give him a better pass. Still, sure. Darius Slayton has to catch the pass. The ball still, you know, Saquon Barkley has to catch that ball in the flat against Dallas. But throw him a better ball. You know, like we can, like, you can't just chalk everything up. We'll hit the receiver in the hands. Yeah, hit the receiver in the hands, but – what else happened on that play? You know, it's just like it's a conversation that's become very toxic because you're either on the aisle that you think Daniel Jones is the worst thing in the world, or you're on the side that you think Daniel Jones is the best thing ever. And I think there's no nuance in this conversation anymore. It just is what it is. I think for somebody like me who's like, hey, I think he's all right, but he also, you know, makes some boneheaded decisions, and he's also very limited, and he's not a guy that can elevate players around him. You know, you just, depending on who you talk to, they just throw you in one side of the aisle or the other side of the aisle. But all I'm saying is, you know, I'm not asking for Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, those elite guys, those outliers. All I'm saying is, man, can I get a better ball on the flat? You know, Darius Slayton's open. You have a clean pocket. Can I get a better ball? You know what I'm saying? I've seen you throw a better ball, and I've complimented you when you've thrown a great deep ball. So am I allowed to criticize you when we don't get a good ball? Like, you know, like when we play both sides of this? So, look, we need more. You need more from Daniel Jones. It's as simple as that.
I do have one question for you because I saw you talking about this during the game. How do you feel about the coaching staff? Because as the year's gone along, there's been less consistency in their ideology and their decision-making. And because they came out of the gate, big balls on the table, let's win the damn game and go for two and win. And as the season's gone along, they've gotten more conservative. They've played things very safe and tried to stay in games longer as opposed to finding ways to put games away. What do you think is driving that inconsistency where they've kind of changed their philosophy as the year's gone along?
Let me answer that question with a question.
Okay.
In this game, did you want them to go for it on 4th-and-3 at midfield against?
I probably would have, but I'm also of the opinion. I would have rather, it's probably not sound logical. Like, I don't know if it's defensible as an NFL coach to say, I would have rather lost trying to win the game as opposed to settling for a tie. That's the kind of thing that'll get you excommunicated from football circles. The kind of thing that's going to end up probably getting Brandon Staley fired after this year, because everybody in conventional football media hated that he went for it every single time last year. And now he's called a very conservative decision-making process this year. And that's the thing here. It's different for me as a fan to say, I would have liked to have gone for it because I would have rather lost the game than tied, because at least we tried to win win the game versus the coach of the team who has to defend that decision to the organization, to the fans, to all the guys in the locker room. It's different. I probably would have gone for it, but I can remove myself enough from the situation to say I'm a fan. My decision-making and my what matters to me is different than what matters to Brian Daboll.
So I actually agreed with punting the football. And a lot of it was because, you know, the offense had not been able to move the football at all. Like, I mean, it was a very tough predicament that they were in. And to me, it's 4th and 3. Like, if it's 4th and 1.
Yeah. That's what Daboll said. I don't know if you saw his comments.
I didn't see his comments after the game. And I would not have gone for it. But I think the biggest thing that fans do, and I'm not saying you're doing this, but is they mix up player execution and play call.
For sure. Definitely.
That third down call on that drive that you're talking about, the decision, the third down call where Richie James and Saquon Barkley ran into each other, that's execution. That's player mistake. You know, like, in the rule, the playbook doesn't say, "Hey, Richie, you're going to run into Saquon Barkley on this play." That's not what it says. So I think fans mix that up. Now, in regards to Mike Kafka, I think, and Wink Martindale too, I think they've had their good moments, and I think they've had their bad moments. They've had times where you want to just give them a big kiss, and there's times we want to, you know, punch them in the face, like, or yell at them. In the end, I think that's a question where you have to look at the circumstances. Mike Kafka and Brian Daboll, this is not their offense.
No.
This is not what they do. This is not where they come from. Once upon a time, Brian Daboll threw the ball like 37 straight times, or he only ran the ball 4 times in a game. Like, their philosophy is they throw the football. They throw the ball down the field. Here's the problem. They don't have the horses to be able to do that. Not a receiver, not on the offensive line. And maybe this is just not their quarterback. Like, maybe they just don't think Daniel Jones is capable of them opening sort of the playbook and just letting him do it. And it may be not just because it's him. Maybe it's because it's a combination of him, the offensive line, and the receivers. And they just don't think they can execute it. So what do they have to do? Well, they have to play to their strengths. And their strengths up to this point have been they run the football. They don't turn the ball over. They limit the amount of times they can make a mistake. They control the clock. And then they get to the fourth quarter and the game is tied. And what do? They drag a team into the deep end. So I don't think this is their vision of how they're going to run this team or run this offense for years to come. Our argument here, and this is what I sort of agree with, is I think you have to, you know, untie Daniel Jones a little bit. I think you have to just try to throw the ball. And I think they did. I mean, in the fourth quarter of that, and on that drive, it was 2 straight deep balls, okay? And it was both to Darius Slayton. So what does that tell you? Well, that tells you that Darius Slayton is the only guy they trust on a deep ball, one. And two, you saw Daniel Jones. We just talked about the throw, the incompletion, where Slayton dropped the pass. So they don't trust the receiver to make a play. And second, you know, the quarterback can't throw a pinpoint accurate pass for them to feel comfortable to do that consistently. So they, like, people don't understand, like, the difference for this offense to go 1st and 7 versus 2nd and 11, it's a huge difference. You know, they're just simply not capable of surviving some of these things. And the simple things where certain teams, you know, where you're facing a 2nd and 5 versus a 2nd and 11, it's just a big difference to what they can do because they are so limited personnel-wise. I mean, you saw Daniel Bellinger go out and you see what happens. Like, he's a rookie 4th-round pick. I mean, that tells you about their personnel. So I think they've had their good moments. I think they've had their bad moments. I think people that are in or out, or I think it's too early to say. I think you have to give them time to continue to incorporate the offense that they want to incorporate and get the personnel in here that they think that they can run their offense. And look, I don't know what they're going to do with the quarterback position. I think they don't know yet either. There's still 5 games left. A lot of things can happen. But it's really tough to have, to take a strong stance on it one way or the other.
Yeah, no, that's my thoughts too. It's really hard to judge a coaching staff when they've only had one draft, one offseason to really implement what they want to do. Because a lot of this roster won't be here next year. They have to turn over a good chunk of the roster, especially on offense, and just build out some depth. I mean, I know Wink made the joke earlier in the season about having corners that were DoorDash drivers. They got
Right.
safeties who were DoorDash drivers right now.
And
That was
corners
tough
right
today.
now. I didn't know who 38 was. I had to look him up. I'm serious. I didn't know who he was. Oops.
Yeah, no, it's rough out there. And the defense played well in spite of the fact they were playing with the backup quarters. And not
Right.
even backup, like the backup to the backup quarters.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I understand, man. For fans,
It's frustrating.
it's
Yeah.
frustrating because you want to win and you're in the middle of a playoff and but you gotta remember where we were in August, man. Like
Oh, yeah.
it's we've come a long way. I understand it's emotional. It's December. But the reality is that this team is not. They're not. They have a lot of work to do, and while this is fun and it's awesome to be playing this meaningful football, and it's great to, go throughout the week and. Being group chats with your friends and work or school, whatever, and shit talk people and go after people and pump your chest because you're in it and that guy over there is a Rams fan or a fucking, I mean, I don't know, a fan of the Packers who are not in it, and you're like, ah, you've been pumping your chest out to me for 5 years. Well, here I am pumping my chest. But at the end of the day, this is a process. But I think it's you can't just make proclamations after week to week like that. And I've been guilty for it myself. I've had these talk. I've said things earlier in the season about certain players that I probably don't agree with right now. But that's the part of being a fan. You live in the moment, and sometimes when you live in the moment, you let the moment, take advantage, the moment overlooks everything else for you. So that's my thing.
Just
Well, I want to ask you something.
shoot.
Do you think this season is a failure if they don't make the playoffs?
No. No. It would have been very nice. And I said this last week. If they have a chance to make the playoffs going into that last game against Philadelphia, I would consider that reasonably successful. Their math to make a playoff spot is probably finishing 9-8-1. I don't see them beating Philly twice. I probably don't see them beating Philly once, to be honest with you. They still need to beat Indianapolis, which is no guarantee because anyone could beat anybody in this league any given week. And then they got to take care of Washington. You get to 9-8-1 and you don't make the playoffs. I can live with that. I said it last week. If they got to that last week and had a chance to get in and didn't make it, I could live with that. Just for perspective, to speak what you were saying before about not letting the moment catch up with you. This is the first time since 2016, the Giants are going to have 10 losses in a season because they tied to that. This is the first time in 6 years that the Giants are not going to have more
That's
than
an
10
excellent
losses.
point.
That is progress. That is real, tangible progress. Now, there's, like you just said, there's so much more to go in this process to becoming a consistently good football team. Absolutely enjoy this moment. I hope they make the playoffs. Like we said last week, it'd be good for the guys who are on this team that are going to be on the team going forward to just have that experience. Even if you go in and get throttled in the first round, you had that week of prep to get ready for a playoff game. You were in that kind of environment. That matters in building a culture and finding guys who you can win with. Because even if it gets ugly here down the stretch, the guys who are still trying and want to be here will make plays in games, even if they are losing. And that matters. That's the difference from years past, where once the season was over by Halloween and guys started to phone it in, Now you want to stay here. If you see that things are changing here, if you play well down the stretch, even in games that don't go the Giants' way, this coaching staff in the front office are going to say, well, this guy busted his ass for us, even though we lost by 2 touchdowns. We want to keep him here next year when we think we can have a more talented team. That's how you build something people want to be a part of. And I know a lot of people are going to get hung up on if Odell goes to Dallas and blah, 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 blah. If he doesn't want to come here, that's on him. It's about the guys who are on the team right now trying to find a way the next couple of weeks, because even if they brought in Odell, there's no guarantee how long he's going to be here into the future.
I think there's legitimate questions of whether or not Odell can contribute this season.
They're real.
I beat the drum that I think they need to bring in Odell, but you know, some of the stuff that I've read, some people that I've talked to, there are legitimate concerns, not just from a Giant perspective, but overall, that the teams are wary if he can play this year. And there's the option of, hey, let's just sit out this year and get ready for next season. That is 100% on the table. 100% on the table. 100% on the table.
That's the thing. You want this team to be making progress every week. And for a while there, it felt like it was continuously upward progress. Now this is real shit hitting the fan adversity now. You've lost a couple games in a row. You have a tie in here. You need to win probably 2 out of the next 5 to get a good shot at a playoff spot. If you can't win 2 out of 5, that's not a great look, but this team is depleted. It's complicated. Like we've been saying, there's a lot of nuance that goes into this conversation. That's hard to cover. We're probably missing a base somewhere in this conversation, a point of what we think, where they are in their progress. But as far as failure or successful, they won so many more games than they were supposed to. Their win total for the year was 6.5 coming into the season. They beat that a couple weeks ago. They need 2 wins to make the playoffs. I would consider this a successful season just based on where we were in August. I was expecting to be talking about Bryce Young and Will Levis and Anthony Richardson by Halloween. We're not talking about that right now. I'm very happy we're not talking about that.
Yeah, I do agree with you, and you know, when you look at it from a big picture thing, but I do think they're going to make the playoffs. I think what they showed today was they are better than Washington. I can say that comfortably. I think there are two things that are really, well, one thing that's really hurting this team is that they lost Adoree Jackson and Xavier McKinney in a time where they just couldn't afford to lose those two indispensable players. You know, Adoree, you know, against the Lions, and then McKinney coming out of the bye. You could not lose those two guys. And not just losing both those two guys, but losing them at the same time. You know, it's not like one guy, you know, got hurt and the other guy was still playing. It's like they both got hurt at the same time, and they desperately need those two back. But I'm a believer in their defensive line. I really am.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it starts, you know, when you can get to the quarterback with 4 consistently, you give yourself a chance. Do I think it's an elite defensive line? No. But I think it's a highly underrated defensive line. I think Azeez Ojulari is a really, really good player. And it's going to be really important that he can stay healthy down the stretch, because he had, 9 sacks last year. I know a lot of people love the stat sheet. He had 9 sacks last year, and he played in 3 games, 4 games this year. And I think he's had 3 sacks and 2 forced fumbles and a fumble recovery. I mean, he fills up the stat sheet. You saw him today. Even though he was on a snap count, he can impact the players. So I truthfully speaking, I do think they make the playoffs. I said it last week. It's going to be on the back of this defensive line. Dexter Lawrence, Leonard Williams, and 2 bookends. Thibodeau, I mean, how
he was great today.
How he held onto the ball. That, to me, I mean, when he snapped the ball and I saw Kayvon, I put my hands on it. That's a strip sack. At the worst, that's a safety and the game is over. How Heinicke held onto the ball, I don't know. But I'm fairly confident that they can beat Washington anywhere. Even when they come here, it's basically a Giant home game. I don't know if you've ever been to FedEx Field, but before SoFi Stadium, FedEx Field was that stadium where it was always filled up with opposing fans. And it's going to be, especially with the Giants and the Cowboys and the Eagles, it's going to be in 2 weeks. But Look, you're pissed off now, but a lot, it's a week to week thing, man. Things happen every week, so we'll see what happens. But that's our game recap. I want to, you want to touch around the league. We talk about week to week. We're talking about San Francisco last week being the best team in the NFC, and here we are, Jimmy G's done for the year, and what is it, Brock Purdy is a starting
Iowa
quarterback.
State legend. Brock Purdy is the reason Iowa State didn't win the Big 12 3 years ago because he imploded in the Big 12 title game. He threw five interceptions in that game, and they still had a chance to win on that last possession, and he threw the fifth interception of that game. This is where you're going to find out how good Kyle Shanahan is at his bullshit, which that offense is so gimmicky and so predicated on just we have more dudes than you. And granted, they do. They really do. Kittle, Debo, McCaffrey, they have dudes on that offense. And this is
Offensively
going.
speaking, I think they have the best offensive roster in football outside of the quarterback.
Oh, that team is so good. And Kyle's gonna, that team, the Eagles' path to the Super Bowl just came a lot easier. That's the thing that really I was talking in the group, a couple of my group chats about today was, I don't think Minnesota's that good. The Jets should have beat them today. I don't think anybody else in the end. I don't think Tampa is going to give them a hard time. I don't
I'm
think.
not done with Tampa yet. I'm not done with Tampa yet.
Okay, well, the coaching has been so bad this
I
year.
know,
That's the
but
reason I think I'm out on Tampa.
just something about Tom Brady that
That's fair.
I'm just not ready to
Count him
cross
out.
them a, yeah.
You can't count out Tom.
They gotta get the offensive line healthy, but I think and Fournette healthy down the stretch. They gotta be able to run the ball. And then, oh my God, Dak Prescott threw it right to Stephon Gilmore. Holy shit. I'm not a believer in the Dallas Cowboys.
No.
I really am not. I truthfully speaking, I do not think they're better than the Philadelphia Eagles.
No.
I thought San Francisco was going to go to the Super Bowl. I actually, before the season, thought Trey Lance MVP, San Francisco 49ers going to the Super Bowl and playing Buffalo. I did believe that. I'm sorry, I didn't say Trey Lance MVP. I said dark horse MVP candidate
Yeah.
with Josh Allen winning the MVP. But I mean, things change quickly in the NFL. Giants get in the playoffs, they play San Francisco, all of a sudden they're playing a rookie seventh round pick quarterback. I'm just saying,
Yeah.
shit happens. So, week to week, it just that's the beauty of the NFL. And it's also an annoying thing about the NFL too. But we'll see what happens in the NFC. I'm not ready to rule out Tampa Bay yet, and I don't think anybody should.
Okay, that's fair. As far as the AFC, the Bengals, again, they know exactly what they need to do to beat Kansas City. I mean, not every team has a Ja'Marr Chase. I think that's really the most important thing we've seen. The way to beat Kansas City is to out-firepower them, and the only team that's been able to do that consistently is Cincinnati.
I
The
think T
Ravens
Higgins,
look
I think
the Ravens, oh yeah.
T Higgins is a top 20 receiver in the NFL.
He's a great possession receiver. The Ravens are done if Lamar is missing any extended period of time. I know Harbaugh said after the game he's days to weeks, which I don't know what that means. That's very unclear. They're in dire straits. The West, the Chargers, again, not very impressive. The Raiders, not very impressive, even though they played each other. As far as the South, the Titans got body bagged by the Eagles today. I really don't know who is good other than the Eagles. I really think it might just be the Eagles in Kansas City because Buffalo hasn't looked good in a while. I mean,
I'm still a believer in Buffalo.
they won on Thursday, but they're missing one more guy. They need one more guy on offense, and that defense is a little questionable. You don't know what Trey White's going to be for them down the stretch because he hasn't played like all year up until this past week. There's a lot of question marks around the league as a whole, and I think that speaks to the week-to-week nature of the league is just how much uncertainty there is just right now after the games that have all ended today.
It's so funny because, hypothetically speaking, if the Giants beat the Eagles next week, what you're saying about Buffalo is probably what people are going to say about Philadelphia. Yeah, they've lost in the last month. They lost to Washington and the Giants, and they didn't look good against Indianapolis. And you remember that game? It's so week to week. You just don't know. Like I thought Tennessee had a legitimate shot of winning today, but the Eagles just, ran them out of the gym. But It's going to be an interesting finish. I know Cincinnati and Buffalo still play one more time. I
Yeah.
still think Buffalo is a Super Bowl favorite. Just think, if they can get Von Miller back right and healthy, game-changing pass rusher. I think their defensive line is also really good. Ed Oliver, we talk about
Great
those
player.
elite defensive linemen. He's becoming a really, really good player. And this rookie James Cook out of the backfield, he's getting more and more of a role every week. I just thought, these Thursday night games, they're just so.
They're weird. They're weird.
Yeah, you can't really hold it against them. I think Buffalo at its best, which I think they're working toward getting to that by the playoffs. They're back in first place in the AFC. That win over Kansas City was really, really big for them. If they get home field, I have a hard time seeing anybody going to Buffalo and winning. Really, really got a hard time seeing it because Josh Allen he's the perfect Buffalo quarterback. He's built like a damn Buffalo. The one thing with Kansas City is they don't have a receiver like a Ja'Marr Chase, like a Stephon Diggs. I know Travis Kelce's there, but you saw today what can happen when it's easy to me. I'm not taking anything away from Kelce, but I think it's always easier to double or scheme to face a tight end than a receiver. Receivers make it very difficult. It's almost like it's a lot harder. So, but we'll see. I don't think you can rule even out Baltimore if Lamar can get healthy, but the fact that they lost Bateman is really, really tough for them
Killing
to
them.
overcome. It's killing them right now. And even with J.K. Dobbins, that's also killing them. But it's going to be a fun finish.
Oh, yeah.
Giants or not, I think it's going to be a very, very fun finish. It's been a very unique football season. The teams that we typically see are not those same teams, and they're teams in the AFC right now. The Jets, what's good? They're 7-4 or 7-5. They're barely a playoff team, but they have the best defense, I think, in the AFC right now.
Yeah.
Maybe the NFL. So if they get in, how good can their defense be in the playoffs? And in Miami, they're high powered offense. So it's gonna be a fun last, what, 5, 6 weeks, and then as we get into the playoffs, this is where shit gets real. I truly believe that.
Oh yeah. I have one last question before we get out of here.
Yes.
Where are you at on the Giants making the retro jerseys the full-time jerseys? Because
Yeah,
I really like these.
I like them, but to me they're nice retro jerseys you wear. I really like the Giants regular jerseys, man. I do like them a lot. Listen, it's a traditional organization. I do wish they actually went with black pants with the blue jerseys. I'm a big uniform guy.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of uniforms, I watch the NBA often, on and off during the week when there's really nothing else going on. Dude, there are so many jerseys in the NBA. I
Teams wear
turn.
colors they don't have in their colorway. I do
Yeah.
not know who is playing half the time when I put the TV on.
I turned on a Phoenix Sun game, and the Suns are wearing like turquoise jerseys.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like,
Exactly.
what part of the sun is turquoise? What the
Yeah.
hell? What the hell is this? I think I turned on the Wizards, and they're wearing pink jerseys. I was like, what the hell is going on over here? I mean, there's so many jerseys. You almost gotta like, it takes you a couple seconds to like, oh, okay, who's Washington? Who's Memphis? Who's like Phoenix? No, they're turquoise. I hope the NFL never does this.
No.
I'm fearful because Nike and the money and all
Yeah.
that. I've been a huge proponent that I think Thursday night football team should wear a throwback uniform that day, just
Yeah.
because the whole throwback Thursday thing. They flirted with it a little with the color rush. I thought they should have went to the throwback things, but when I asked somebody who's apparently big on the retro stuff, they say because those retro jerseys were with Reebok and Starter, it's tough for Nike to get the
The
rights
rights,
to it
yeah.
because ultimately when you make a retro jersey, you're trying to resell it and it just becomes a problem. So you learn something new every day. All you gotta do is ask the right questions.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Damn,
So we'll
that sucked to tie that game. Damn,
it,
that's.
it
I'm gonna be
did.
staring at the ceiling tonight.
I'm good. I got my Feliciano thing out. I'm good. I'm good. I'm
Oh,
good.
man.
But yeah, it's supposed to hurt. But I'm also very confident. I think they can take care of business. in Washington. I Washington does not scare me. I just wish we can, if they can get those two defensive backs healthy as soon as possible, it's going to go a long way, because their defensive line I am extremely high on, especially Ojulari coming back.
Oh, yeah. He was great. I mean, if they can get him and Thibodeau going consistently, the defense is going to be the least of their concerns. I mean, the offense has been the concern all year, but if they can get the two ends going, that'll help a lot.
And then you get McKinney and Adoree Jackson back, and
then we're cooking.
Yeah. Then you're confident. So we'll see. But yeah, we'll be back middle of the week. We'll get a guest on here. We'll talk about the Eagles. Another rivalry game, man. You're over here, you know, talking about Washington, and all of a sudden you turn around, and here comes the 10-1 Eagles.
Not great.
Not great. We've seen crazier things in the NFL, though.
That's fair. We've seen
crazier things.
That's fair.
So that is an episode. Once again, follow me, NYG Daily. Follow Nick. Nick, what you're at?
Nick Zararis, Nick, Zararis. Make sure you're subscribed to the show. Leave a review, please. Reviews are very nice. Yeah. They help other people find
Can
the show.
Can you guys let Nick know how he's doing?
Yeah, because roast me, please.
Yeah, let Nick know how he's doing, because that's something I've been wondering. I've been meaning to – Nick doesn't ask me how he's doing, but I always want to get feedback from the audience. So leave a review, kind or not, and then we'll talk in the middle of the week. Nick, any last words?
Oh, man. All right, go Giants.
Go Giants. There you go. Peace.